And the kids can accompany Jan to have their time with her. Liberty she has. And I am gonna remind everybody, if you didn't get a chance to give offering or tithe and you want to, at the end of the sermon, you can come up and do that here, or there's some boxes against the walls as well. I'm hoping this is an amazing message, because I wasn't supposed to speak this morning, and I just found out a couple of days ago that I was speaking. And as some of you have heard, Sherry, one of our members, she broke her hip, and she fell a couple of days ago. And she had surgery yesterday, which went really well. She's doing good, but they're not sure yet whether she's going straight home or to rehab, depending on physical therapy she does at the hospital. So, but Renee was going to speak, who's her daughter, and so it just didn't seem like a wise thing for her to try to stress out and try to do that, make that work. So, so I'm speaking to you guys today, but I'm really, really excited about what I'm sharing about. We're still talking about the kingdom of God. We've been doing a series on that, and today I'm talking about intercession, which is basically a type of prayer. It's when you pray for other people. The definition is actually the action of intervening on behalf of another, or in the Bible, the action of saying a prayer on behalf of another person or a group of people. The word intercessor has its roots in Greek. The meaning is to meet with or to come between. And I love that we have been really focusing on Jesus this morning, because that's what he did. That was his ministry here on earth. He came to intercede for us. He gave his life so that he came between us and the Father, and, you know, paid for the sins that we couldn't pay for, and brought us in a relationship with the Father. So that's his whole thing. That's who Jesus is. He is an interceder. And even now, after everything he did here on earth, all of his ministry here, his death and resurrection, all that, guess where he's at? He's in heaven at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. That's what the Bible teaches us. It says in Romans 8:34, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. So that's his whole purpose, his whole thing that he does. And we're able to live the life we do as Christians because of all of what he's done. And I don't know, I got to thinking about him up in heaven interceding for us. And it's just kind of made my day, my week, my month, thinking about him. He's up there. And when I have stuff going on, either something wrong or something good, he's up there talking to the Father about me. He's going, hey, Father, hey, do you see Nancy down there? She needs a little encouragement. Why don't we send an angel? Why don't we give her some encouragement? Or maybe the enemy's after her. We need to stop this. You know, he's there seeing our lives and taking action on our behalf all the time. That's what he does in heaven. And so I was pretty stoked by that. I was like, you don't think about that very often, because we read that verse, but we don't really think about what it means. And when we intercede, when we are doing the same thing through prayer, it's like a conversation with God the Father about someone and their needs, just like what Jesus is doing in heaven right now. I kind of thought about, you know, it's kind of like being an assistant coach on a team. You know, you're under the leadership of the coach, God. You're within the rules of the game, but you have a part to play that influences the outcome. If you're a coach, then you're going to be influencing what the players are doing, what's going on the field, and you have a part to play in that. The Holy Spirit's also part of this whole thing with intercession. When Jesus left the earth, he sent the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, our comforter, to continue to reveal the Father and Jesus to us. And the Holy Spirit helps us to intercede, and even intercedes on our behalf. It says Romans 8, 26 through 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So we got somebody interceding for us, the Holy Spirit as well. And when we don't know what to pray, he knows what to pray. So when we're kind of out of our depths, we've hit a situation where we don't know what to do, we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit's there helping us, interceding for us. So, so how do we intercede? What is it that we do when we intercede? I do want to make a note, just when talking about intercession, sometimes we get this impression that people, you know, the intercede are serious people. They go around, they're dealing with the heavy things of the world. And that can happen to people because you do take on a weight. When you intercede for somebody or a situation that's heavy, that's difficult, you tend to take on a weight of that and a feeling like, oh, that's heavy. But you know, one of our jobs is to always give it back to God. Always go, when we intercede for somebody or in a situation or about a country, whatever, we're doing our part when we're interceding. But then we have to give it back to God and say, he's actually the one in control. And we have to let go of that weight so that we don't become just heavy with things. I just wanted to say that note just because that is something that people fall into sometimes when they're interceding for others. I heard somebody describe it one time like a house. Like you have the living room where you hang out with Jesus and you have your happy time, you watch your movie, you have your popcorn, you know, you're living life in the living room. But then over here you have a bedroom, and that represents maybe a friend that's sick. And you go over to that bedroom and you go in and you pray. You do everything that God's telling you to do, to pray about, to encourage them, to whatever. But then once you've done your job, you've done what Jesus has asked you, what's been on your heart, you come back to the living room and you close that door. And you say, you know, it's okay. God's dealing with this. I don't have to carry that all the time. And so you just kind of have where you can kind of compartmentalize stuff and really put your heart into it when God's asking you to pray and when you've decided to come before him about somebody, but not to take that with you in everyday life. So that's just an encouragement for you. So in the kingdom of God, and when I'm thinking about, you know, that we're doing a series on the kingdom of God and how does intercession play into the kingdom of God and what we think about, honestly, I think intercession's at the heart of it because it's our opportunity to partner with God. It's how we come into alignment with him. It's how we enter into, you know, obviously there's times when we take action and we do things, but it starts with intercession. It starts with that conversation with God about the situation and about what's going on. So one of the main things, there's some practical things that are really clear in scripture that we do that are intercession. One is praying for the sick. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. James 5, 14 through 15. There's a clear command that as a church, we pray for the sick. We help them overcome things where they need to ask for forgiveness. We, you know, we help heal people. And that's part of intercession. We also, really clear in scripture, we pray for peace. And that, we pray for our leaders. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're encouraged to pray for our leaders and the peace of the land. It says in Jeremiah 29:7, and seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. Now these were not nice people. You know, they had, this was a time when God had let somebody conquer the Israelites and carry them off into captivity. So, I mean, they're basically slaves in this land. And God's telling them, well, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to stay there a while. And you better pray for peace, because that's how you're going to have peace. So, you know, it doesn't matter who your leaders are. Doesn't matter. We still pray for peace. And then in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2, it says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So, you know, it's pretty clear just that's just a standard thing that we can always pray for is peace in our government, peace in our community. So that, you know, it's a little bit on the self-serving side, but part of it is so we can have peace. So if you're nervous about the situation in the government or about our nation, then prayer is our first answer. And then finally, another really straightforward one is we pray for our enemies. Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So we always have a command to intercede for those who have wronged us or have become an enemy to us in some way. And I think, yeah, that one could be a hard one, but I think that in a large way, it leads us to be able to forgive people and to let go of situations. When we're able to pray for them, we're able to see things that we couldn't see before, and we're able to open our hearts to them and be able to let go of things and forgive them. So I thought we might take a minute just to see, because I know Sherry has had this operation, and I felt like maybe we could pray for her for a minute. Is there anybody else that has a physical or a need that they'd like us to pray for this morning that we could use as a guinea pig? Any guinea pigs? We got a couple of people. Okay, you guys come on up, if you don't mind. So do we have any people that would really like to pray for them in specific? Or, I mean, I can pray as well.
We like prayer as well.
Okay. So, okay. And I'm going to start down here. Well, let's start with Sherry, just because she's not here. She's in the hospital. So let's start with praying for her. So, Lord, we just bring Sherry before you, and we just pray for healing for her hip and throughout her whole body. We pray for you to lift her up, to encourage her, to cause her bones to knit together, her muscles to heal, and all the trauma from a fall and a broken hip to leave her body, in the name of Jesus. I feel anointing for this morning. This is really good. Lord, we just thank you for her healing.
Yes.
Okay. We just thank you for healing, and we just declare it a done thing. Declare it a done thing. That you are faithful to your word. I can think about it. We need the oil too. Hold on just a second. Just scripture tells us we can anoint with oil when we do this. Okay, who else do we have that want to corn? Okay, Shem's lens. It's like, we just anoint Corey with oil. We just speak healing in his shins. I just thank you that you are putting back everything that needs to be readjusted, that you're soothing and healing and causing wholeness in Corey. Thank you, Lord. I just want to keep praying for him. What can I pray for you for? Lord, I just thank you. You're just doing a healing. Seth's heart. Thank you. You're just bringing healing to hurts. You're aligning her with your will. She would see what you have for her to do, and that she would just do it as you talk to her. Healing over your mind and emotions. I'm going to let you guys continue to pray. I feel like this is God's taking his time to move. I think we should just let him. Thank you. I'm going to talk a little while they continue to pray, but I think one of the things that God really impressed on me with this, and I think this is one of the main points, is that intercession aligns our hearts with His. So as we felt, as we pray for people, all of a sudden His compassion, His heart for them begins to flow. And I think that's just an amazing thing. That's what's, we can't just do things out of obligation for God. But when we can see His heart in a situation, we can see what He wants to do for somebody. We can see what He purpose He has. Then all of a sudden, we can get on board and we can be 100% going after what He wants. First John 5:14 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." When we get, like I said, when we get in alignment with God, and God loves people, we don't have any problem finding His heart when we're praying for people, when we're ministering them, when we're asking the Father, what do they need? And when we struggle, we have the Holy Spirit to help us. We can open our eyes to see what God sees and open our hearts to feel what God feels. Then we're truly interceding. And there's times, especially in the scripture, where it shows, there's times when people stood in the gap. Moses in particular had a lot of this because the Israelites liked to doubt God. And they would be going across the wilderness and they would say, "Well, why is God having us come here? This is stupid. We needed to just turn around." They actually got to the promised land and they sent in people to check it out. And when they came back and said, "There's giants, there's, enemies that we're going to have to defeat," the Israelites decided they would rather just go back to Egypt. And, God said, he was thinking about just, "Let's just start over." He told Moses, he's like, "Let's just not, I don't like these people anymore." And there's a whole scripture, I'll read it to you, of Moses talking to God about them. He says, "Now, if you kill this people as one man, then the nations who have heard your name will say, 'It is because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land that He swore to give them, that He's killed them in the wilderness. And now please let the power of the Lord be great as you have promised, saying, The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But He will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now." So, Moses is saying, "Hey, if you kill them all, it's going to look bad. Let's keep them." And so God invites us into that kind of conversation when somebody's, when somebody's really done something that they deserve judgment for, they deserve punishment for, we have a role to play of going before the Father and asking for clemency, asking for Him to change the situation, to give them something they don't deserve. And, I think sometimes God calls us to that. There's people in prison that have done things that, they shouldn't receive anything. They deserve the death penalty and other things. And God calls us sometimes to intercede on the behalf of people that are really messed up, including ourselves. But this is where we can stand in the gap for people. And the thing is, and we don't really, this is one of those things where we don't understand why God gives us that power, why He invites us to do that. But it's part of our relationship with Him that He wants us to. He wants to have that conversation. Another point is we're able to affect the world around us with the power of God. It says in James 5:16, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Mark 11:24, Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Matthew 18, 18 through 20. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather my name, there am I with them. It's humbling to know that God has trusted us with his power. He's saying, you know, we are able to have an influence. We are able to affect change. And that's where, you know, having that conversation with God is so important, because he gives us that ability within his will. And so when we know what God wants to see happen, he invites us to be part of that and invites us to pray into it and see that change happen. And, you know, we don't understand exactly why God holds his hand back. He, you know, he says, I'm looking for somebody to pray about this. I'm looking for somebody to intercede to see this happen. And so we've got that power and that level of, you know, I look at it because you want to say it's a responsibility or it's a job or it's something, but it's not. It's a relationship. We have that invitation to have that relationship with God where we're talking to him about these situations and we're saying, you know, we're asking him to take a step, to do something, to change something. And he loves it when we do that. The other thing that I got to think about when thinking about intercession, and I think this is important, it binds us together with other believers in purpose and heart. Because when we pray together, it connects us. We become, when we line up with God's will together, then it becomes a different relationship between us. And we're able to deepen our family with one another when we're able to connect with one another in prayer and intercession, when we can have one heart towards something. When we, and there's a couple of ways this plays out. One is when we pray for one another, because I know when, you know, when I'm praying for you guys up here just a minute ago, I have a connection to you. You know, I'm feeling compassion. I'm wanting to see this change happen in your life. I'm wanting to see the healing. I'm wanting to see the result. And so that connects me to you on a new level. But also, when we pray together and we're in one accord to God's will, then we also are connected. So I think, you know, overall, interceding is something that's important as a body because it unifies and connects us to one another. So I've talked a lot about this, but I do want to read the scripture because Jesus interceded. You know, obviously he had a lot of healings and things, but he also, and especially in John 17, he specifically had a pretty long prayer that's recorded in scripture where he prayed for himself and then he prayed for the disciples that were there. But then at the end, he actually has a prayer that was for us, that was for the people that would become believers through the disciples. And it's John 17, 20 through 26. And it says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. I'll put an amen on the end of that. That we may know his love and be one in him and the Father. And that's what intercession does. It draws us into that oneness. It allows us to share the heart of the Father, to hear his voice, to enter that conversation with him to make change in the world. So I think I'm going to end there. Something to think about, just because as the kingdom of God, you know, as Jesus established the kingdom, you know, it's easy to think about it as an institution, as a church building or something, but it's really about people, and it's about our heart connection to the Father, and about sharing his heart in the world and being willing to do the things, to pray, to take the action, to see his love and his justice, his mercy, all of his attributes to be out there in the world around us, to let them shine through us. So I thank you very much for this morning, and you guys have a really good afternoon. Thank you. Oh, one thing, there's one announcement I need to make. Tuesday night, the, I'm not trying to think, New Year's Eve. That's the thing I'm trying to think of. New Year's Eve, we are having a get together from 8 to midnight. So we're going to play games, pray, worship, all of that. So you guys are all invited. And I think it's bring a snack of some sort.
Dish, bring a dish.
To share? Oh, yep, they got it up. So bring a dish or a snack to share. So that'll be a lot of fun. That'll be right here. So come out on Tuesday night. You know, there are some people I'm sure that probably go to bed by then, but we won't name them. So, so you guys have a great Sunday.
You too.